and add that thanks to Betsy Ames, my chief of staff, who helped me understand some of the mind-numbingly complicated portions of this. To Commissioner Fritz and her staff, Amanda's a recovering member of the Planning Commission, and her role here in this process was extremely helpful, in particularly the time she spent with me. And also to the staff of Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, who I think did an excellent job both in these public forums and privately meeting with commissioners to help them understand the various components of this. So thanks to everyone and to Mayor Adams for bringing in this forward and leading this effort. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Mayor Adams and Commissioner Fritz and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, particularly Commissioner Fritz, I think, for infusing some excitement into what otherwise seemed to be pretty mundane stuff. But when you listen to her, the stuff she's talking about is really important.
Thank you.
I am one of these people that somehow these types of issues I tend to glaze over a little bit. But there are some important things in here about wind turbines, cisterns, and other things that make this very important. So I'm glad to have somebody with Commissioner Fritz's expertise who can and make this lively and exciting for me. And it's a good work, and it took us a while to get here, but good work. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I too want to thank Commissioner Fritz for helping us get this to fruition where it is today. I really appreciate it. And your years of service on the Planning Commission and having that perspective, which is a unique perspective, is really important. So thank you. I appreciate it. I want to thank the great team at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, the Bureau of Development Services, and all the other bureaus that have been part of this. I remember when we first started the recap process, that was there was low enthusiasm for it from staff, Planning Commission, and the City Council.
And the citizens.
And the citizens. There was nobody that was like championing it. But it is maybe the unsexy, tough work. But as Commissioner Saltzman just alluded to, the important work of always seeking to improve our city. So thank you very much. It means a lot. Aye. So approved. Please read the title for hearing non-emergency ordinance street vacation 338.
Vacate a portion of Southwest 19th Avenue and Southwest Seymour Street subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Hi. Good day, Mayor, City Council. I'm Lance Lundahl, Portland Bureau of Transportation, right-of-way acquisition section. I'm here to present a street vacation at Southwest 19th Avenue and Seymour Street. And joining me here is the property owner, Mr. Gray Hertig. And if there's questions, let me know.
Questions?
So there's several conditions attached to this about making sure sewer utility right-of-ways remain. This is on a hillside, so is it a forested vacated right-of-way? So I guess my question is, what about the trees?
Yeah, I have aerials here I can share with you.
Well, I mean, is the right-of-way we're vacating have a tree canopy? And if so?
It really does not. It is, the streets in this area are currently unimproved. The streetways are gravel. And where the street is doesn't really match up with where the right-of-way lines are. And a good percentage of this area is mowed and maintained grass and shrubbery.
So there's not a tree canopy.
Small ornamental trees.
Right away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
And is there a sewer to this property? Is there ever likely to be a sewer to this property?
Currently, this property and a number of properties around it have septic systems and leach fields. And there currently are no major sewer mains in the street right away in this area. And I'm not sure what the future plans are.
I think my understanding is that there's not likely to be in the future, which is one of the reasons I'm willing to support this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Additional council discussion? Anyone signed up or wishes to testify on item number 338?
Wait, one person sign up?
Oh, you, okay.
I'm
sorry.
Proponent.
I thought you were with the Bureau.
Not yet, yes. I'm the proponent, and I'm not going to bloviate long on this. I'm just here to answer any questions you might have.
I think you're ahead.
Tell us your name for the record, please.
Excuse me. My name is Gray Hertig.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hertig. All right. Moves to a second reading next week. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance regarding a contract, item number 339.
Amend contract with Stacy and Whitbeck, Inc. for construction of all rail maintenance facility improvements related to the Portland Streetcar Loop project.
Welcome back.
Good afternoon, or morning still.
How's our project going? I see the rails going in.
It is going well. We're about a third of the way through the water work, a little less on sewer, and the rail's starting to go ahead in right after these activities. So it's starting to look like a rail project.
Great. What do we got here?
What we have. First of all, for the record, I'm Vicki Didi with the Bureau of Transportation. And I'm the city's project manager for Portland Streetcar. What we have in front of you today is Amendment 5, which provides about $3.2 million for the expansion and the improvements at the maintenance facility. It's the last of the construction packages for the Loop project, so I just wanted to take a couple minutes and recap the status of that project or that construction contract with Stacy and Whitbeck, Inc. First of all, Amendment 5 for the maintenance facility provides for 47% participation by disadvantaged business enterprise firms. When you put all of the construction contract packages together and all the DBE participation, where we end up is that the total of the construction contract with Stacy Whitbeck is about $103 million. And overall, there's a 16% participation by disadvantaged business enterprises. If you use ODOT's, the Oregon Department of Transportation statistics for jobs, they assume 14 jobs per 1 million in construction contracts or construction costs. So this would equal for the total project almost 1,500 jobs, so which is what we kind of try to remind people of when they don't like the traffic patterns going on. And then I just wanted to take one more opportunity to thank our funding partners at the Federal Transit Administration, at the Portland Development Commission, and at the property owners within the local improvement district. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Because we're getting state and federal funding, that's why we council is seeing and the public is seeing the nomenclature disadvantaged business enterprise as opposed to MWESB.
Yes.
We can only use DB.
Yes, that's true.
The overall project right now, on time, on budget?
On time, on budget. And as we, there's a couple more intergovernmental agreements that will be coming back to council for approval. But on the construction contract side, you won't see me for a while, but we will definitely take opportunities between now and the end of the project to come to council and give briefings on progress.
So with the additional cars and the additional trackage,
exactly.
we need to expand the ability to maintain that, and that's what this contract is.
Exactly.
Discussion from council. Anyone wish to testify on emergency ordinance item number 339?
No one signed up.
Carla, would you please call the vote? And I assume it's an emergency.
It is.
So we can get moving.
Keep moving, yes. Yeah.
Then we will pause on voting on this. A suspension of the rules unless there is disagreement. We will pause on voting on this and move on our agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can you please read the title for procurement report, item number 340?
Accept bid of Groundhog Environmental, Inc. for construction of the Springwater Trail Union Pacific Railroad Bridge, East City Border Section for $936,075.
Hi, Ms. Moody. How are you today?
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Christine Moody, Procurement Services. In front of you is a procurement report recommending a contract award to the low bidder in the amount of $936,074 for the Springwater Trail Union Pacific Railroad Bridge project. The Bureau of Transportation entered into an intergovernmental agreement with the Oregon Department of Transportation to provide funding for this project as part of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. The city's Good Faith Efforts program does not apply to this project as ODOT requires to comply with the federal DBE program. The DBE goal for this project was 2%, and Groundhog Environmental has DBE subcontracting participation at 4.5%. I'll turn this back over to council if you have questions.
Discussion from council.
I'm assuming this is a bridge over the railroad on the trail. Is that what this is?
Correct. It is not bridging the railroad over the trail. I know that. That would cost a lot more money. All right. It's not a bridge over the train.
What is it?
I believe this is repaving a large section of the Springwater. And the bridge references, I think, are primarily location.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Thank you.
This is a paving contract primarily.
Great. All right. Do I hear a motion to accept the procurement report?
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on the procurement report, item number 340?
Fritz.
This is another example of our excellent procurement staff getting things in a little under budget and also of us implementing promised plans, in this case the pedestrian plan with the paving. And I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Can you please call the vote for item number 339?
339. Fish? Fritz?
This is the previous item, and I heard from a nearby business owner how impressed they were with the speed of installation and how the impacts were significant for a short time, but quickly done. And so I applaud Mayor Adams and his staff for recognizing the impact on businesses. I'm talking about, of course, the new streetcar line, which is a little different from what this is, but wanted to take the opportunity to recognize that. We do recognize that there are short-term impacts on businesses from the installation, but that our construction workers are doing the work as expeditiously as possible. And it's certainly nice to see construction workers out in the street investing some stimulus dollars and also some federal dollars and state money to get this done. And then to think about how the streetcar is going to encourage development in needed areas of town. So I'm very pleased to support this, which also supports that. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Vicki, Greg, your team, and the Stacey Whitbeck team, continued great work. Aye. All right. Can you please read the title for procurement report, item number 341?
Accept bid of Mowat Construction Company for the North Vancouver Columbia Slough Bridge for $4,114,831.
Christine Moody, Procurement Services. In front of you is the procurement report recommending a contract award to the low bidder Mowat Construction Company. The city identified 22 divisions of work for potential minority, women, and emerging small business subcontracting opportunities. Participation on this project is at 35.3%, and work is being performed in 13 different areas of work. I will turn this back over to council if there's any questions, and Paul Gornett from Transportation is here to answer technical questions.
So we got almost 7% minority business enterprise, less than 1% women-owned business enterprise, and then 2.6 for new businesses. So
a total of $392,000.
Okay. Any additional discussion or questions from council? Anyone wish to testify on item number 341? Entertain a motion to accept the procurement report.
So moved.
And moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the roll on consideration of item 341?
Well, I note that the engineer's estimate was $6.7 million, and it's coming in at $4.1 million. So, again, we're getting good value for the taxpayers' money. I also want to note that the East Columbia Neighborhood Association asks about this particular project every time I visit them. So I'm very happy to hear that it's getting done and appreciate all the good work. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 341 is approved. Can you please read the title for procurement report, item number 342?
Accept bid of Emery and Sons Construction, Inc. for the Umatilla Pump Station upgrade for $871,000.
Christine Moody, Procurement Services. You have before you the procurement report recommending a contract award to the low bidder in the amount of $871,000. The city identified 14 divisions of work for potential minority, women, and emerging small business subcontracting opportunities. Participation on this project is at 13.9%, and work is being performed in the areas of painting, fencing, metal fabrication, and partial storm drain work. I'll turn this back over to council if you have questions, and Dan Hebert from BES is here to answer technical questions.
It's got a relatively low M&WBE amount, and it seems like the kind of work that should be, or the divisions of work that should be pretty accessible. Did we not get bids?
I also have the contractor here as well to help answer the questions. The paperwork that was submitted to council said there was a clerical error on that. at 3.9%. It's actually 13.9%.
Oh, that's a big difference.
And then I've just talked to the contractor, and they've added an additional WBE contractor on there for fencing as well.
So can you restate then the MWBE is what?
13.9%.
Okay. And the second one, the MWE was?
The total overall subcontracting was 13.9%, and I did not add in the $6,800 that he just told me about.
Well, to the contractor, thank you. Good work. Those are wherever you're at. Those are big changes. Thank you. I appreciate you. That. You're helping to meet our goals and our targets. All right. Anyone that wishes to testify on item number 342? Entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on procurement report item number 342?
Fritz.
Well, thank you to the contractor for coming in to see the vote and to give us that good news about the increased percentage or allocation of work to minority women and emerging small businesses. We really appreciate it. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Again, thanks. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance item number 343?
Approve the 10th Amendment to the Airport Way Urban Renewal Plan to reduce plan area by approximately 870 acres.
Executive Director Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Commission. Pleasure to be here. As you said, I'm Bruce Warner, the Executive Director of the Portland Development Commission. What you have before you is a fairly simple ordinance, but it does have great opportunities for the City of Portland by taking this action. What you're dealing with is the Airport Way Urban Renewal Area. Just a little bit of history. It was initially created by the City Council in 1982. It's reached its maximum indebtedness a number of years ago, so no additional bonds are sold. And really the work we're doing there is dealing with sales of property and again, repayment of loans to deal primarily with the creation of jobs in the area. This urban renewal area has been a real success, I think, in terms of creation of jobs and the east side. And what we're here to talk to you about is amending the boundaries of this particular district to eliminate area from the airport way urban renewal area that will allow the city to address other areas of the city that may be blighted. And to remind you why that's important, state law permits us to only have up to 15% of the land area within an urban renewal area of the city, 15% of the area of an urban renewal area within a city at any one time. It also limits the assessed value to 15% of the total city's assessed value within an urban renewal area at any one time. So what this does, we know that we have about 707 acres that we could put into a new or expanded urban renewal area at this time. This will provide an additional 870 acres of land that could be placed in a new or amended urban renewal area, which allows us to look at areas downtown that we're currently looking at, look at areas in the future on the east side, and not bump up against that cap. So this is very important. I want you to know that we sat down with the property owners and people in the Airport Way area and the urban renewal advisory groups around the city to remove property that really is not going to need to be redeveloped in the future. And we've also, as noted in the ordinance, worked very closely with the Office of Management and Finance and a debt manager to assure that this reduction does not in any way violate or impact the repayment of the bonds for this particular district. It's a very simple ordinance, but it does give us a lot of flexibility now and in the future to look at creation of urban renewal areas in other parts of the city. Again, just to put into perspective the success of this, about $2.5 million a year comes to the city and PDC for urban renewal activities, but almost $19 million of new growth has been released on an annual basis to taxing districts in the city of Portland that are part of this urban renewal area. So it has been a very big success. Keith's here if you want to get into some of the particulars of this. But, again, this is a good ordinance, and I'd recommend that you move forward and endorse it.
Thank you. Council, questions?
I have a question.
Commissioner Fritz.
Just to clarify, you just stated that we've already reached the maximum indebtedness of this district, so we can't there's no other projects that can be identified and done in this district. Is that correct?
There are projects that are identified, but mainly what we have in the future, if you look at our budget, which we will be talking to you about on March 29th, is really to help new businesses and industries go in to create jobs in that particular area. And the funding comes from either sale of properties that we own or, again, the repayment of loans we've made to other businesses in that area. So there is no ability to sell bonds, as you point out, and there's no other major projects planned in this district, nor could they be done without amending and changing the maximum indebtedness limits.
And this part of this that I find fascinating, so I'm just going to state it again, and you can verify that this is accurate, that it's grown in the Airport Way Urban Renewal District has grown in value from $1.17 billion of assessed value, but already $921 million are coming back to the taxing jurisdictions. So by taking this land out, which I understand is about $3.5 million a year, we're not actually adding any more money back because it's already most of the money from this jurisdiction going back from this district. Already most of the money is coming back to our general fund, TriMet, the county school districts. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Very interesting. Thank you. And it really evidence of the success of urban renewal in general and in this particular district, showing how successful it's been.
Other questions? Commissioner Saltzman?
Well, I just wanted to build on that point that Commissioner Fritz was making. I mean, this is a success story, the airport urban renewal area. It has created over 17,000 jobs. Is that correct?
That's the number, I believe. That's correct.
So it's been a phenomenal success. And I realize there are some concerns that we're probably going to hear from the East Portland Action Plan, but I just want to clarify, no decision has been made yet about where this surplus acreage might end up within another urban renewal area, east side or west side.
That is correct, Councilor. Just to put it into perspective, though, if you look at what we're talking about in downtown or in potentially amendments to the north and northeast, or interstate, for example, urban renewal area, there's well over 1,000 acres available to deal with other areas outside of the city. Should we elect to move forward with those? If you don't, then as this points out, you've got almost 1,800, I believe the number is, acres that are available then citywide.
This ordinance doesn't commit us to putting those into any urban renewal district. We could just say we're done with urban renewal and we're going to have all the money go to the general fund and other jurisdictions.
That is correct.
Thank you. Other questions? Carla, do we have any people who have signed up?
Yes, we have two people who signed up.
Gentlemen, if you could stick around in case we have follow-up questions, if you could call up the witnesses.
Veronica Bernier and Marie Daniels.
Welcome to City Council. You have 3 minutes if you just state your name, and we're glad you're here.
Thank you. My name is Marie Daniels. Good morning, Mayor Adams, who's not here, and the commissioners. My name is Marie Daniels. Like I said, I'm a member of the East Portland Action Plan Advisory Subcommittee. I am a member of their Economic Development Subcommittee, a chair of the Youth Subcommittee, a business owner, and chair of the Women in Business Roundtable Advisory Committee in East County. So I have a lot of interest in East Portland and East County. I'm here today to discuss the East Portland Action Plan's proposition on the proposed removal of acreage from the Airport Way urban renewal area. As noted in the letter prepared for the council, we support the removal of acreage from the existing URA, but are concerned about where that acreage may ultimately be reassigned if it is to be reassigned. Our position is that any acreage removed from that URA remain in East Portland, either through expansion of an existing area or the creation of a new URA. Given the mayor's public commitment to increasing equity and fair distribution of resources in East Portland and our mission of supporting growth and prosperity in that area of the city, we propose the following. One, to slow or extend the process of reassignment to encourage public participation. This step may include leaving the 870 acres in question assigned to the Airport Way URA until an equitable agreement has been reached. Number two, actively engage the East Portland Action Plan Advisory Committee in addition to other community, neighborhood, and business organizations in the reassignment decision-making process. As you will note in the letter, we include several options for retaining the Airport Way acreage in East Portland. These options include expanding the Gateway or Lynch URAs, the potential for creating a new URA in the Glen Fair and Centennial neighborhood area, and the potential creation of a URA that abuts Gresham's Rockwood area. We believe that all of these proposals bear careful consideration, and we are committed to bringing all of our resources to the table during the consideration process. In closing, I would like to reiterate that we do support the proposed amendment to remove the acreage from the Airport Way URA in addition to a thoughtful and considered reassignment plan. We are looking to the city to demonstrate its commitment to equity and include us in the decision-making process that results in a fair and balanced allocation of resources. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We have your letter. And just to clarify, Commissioner Fritz previously had an exchange, and then just are you satisfied that from what you've heard that no decisions have been made by this resolution or yet as to how those acres will be applied?
As satisfied as I can be at this point.
Thank you. Veronica, welcome back.
Oh, hi. For the second time's a charm. Good morning. I see our mayor is off interviewing with some media types. Good. I'm glad to hear that everybody's still looking quite well and involved. I wanted to speak to the Portland Development Commission. The 10th Amendment to the Airport Way Urban Renewal Plan to reduce planned area by approximately 870 acres ordinance. There, I got it right. I wanted to specifically reiterate what that land is. And I can tell you from having been a very small child flying into that airport myself at about the age of one with Lufthansa Airlines. This goes way back to 1947. And in an incredible airlift of World War II kids coming over from Europe, we all came in on a big flight. That area is essentially almost the same in development. In certain areas, it is population developed, but only to the account of about 250 people living there now. But about density currently there now, the Airport Commission is an active one in this city. We encourage a lot of tourism. Former Mayor Vera Katz has always bended in the direction of supporting tourism and safe airways and safe airport areas. The density part is key here. That land is actually kind of a convergent area where you have the confluence of the rivers. You have a lot of marshland there around the Airport Land Commission, and parts of that area are not very, very, very well, a good way to put it would be like ground level reinforced with hard rock. It will not support a lot of density in terms of planning and or buildings. The main occupation of people there out near the airport has been to support the airport in a commerce way with restaurants, hotels. You have the Quality Inn there. That's about 200 people that they can support there, if that, and the staff that supports it. They have a really nice restaurant there, by the way. The 72nd Travel Lodge, I believe it's called, might be renamed by now, has about 79 to about 82 people directly in from the airport and is very safe housing. I would like to say in the last 30 seconds that we want the airport to stay essentially the same with the addition of maybe just a few low-level buildings, not too much mass development because the area is not graded for a large, huge population density. You can liken it to what happened in San Jose International Airport and also San Francisco International Airport. Directly near the airport, there aren't areas that are too densely populated for obvious reasons for the jet traffic. So we want a safe, sane development of that area with those ideas in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Veronica. As always, the depth of your knowledge of city affairs is breathtaking. Thank you for your testimony.
Oh, thanks, Lon.
Other questions for the PDC panel?
I just have one.
Could you please come back up?
And this is a response to the East Portland Action Plan folks' questions. What is the process for deciding where any new acreage might be assigned?
Well, we have been systematically going through all of our urban renewal areas to look at what we need to do. First, on existing areas, like we looked at the Central East Side a little while ago. As you remember, we allowed the downtown waterfront and South Park blocks to expire, made amendments to the River District, which was long and tortuous, but we made those. We're now looking at, as part of our work program that you folks approved, looking at a new central city urban renewal area, as well as some changes in the north-northeast. The next on our work program is to look at the Gateway urban renewal area. I know there's a great deal of interest from a number of folks about some of the areas there. And beyond that, we have no commitments for further analysis. But I think I can't remember the lady's name who came from the East Portland Action Plan, made a very good suggestion. And what we should do is we should engage that community and that group in terms of opportunities and what urban renewal can and cannot do, and see if there are some areas we should explore out there, and then make that part of probably a further discussion with my board and you in terms of our budget and our priorities. And so we'll see if we can get to some further answers by the time we maybe talk with you on the 29th, what we might be able to do to start moving forward and address some of those concerns, because they are very valid.
I would like that. And I wonder, what's the timeline for the gateway, look at gateway so that we know before we look at the central city one, at the same time, how our few scarce acres, even after we approve this, where they would go?
So I think that what we've got right now with the northeast and the look at the central city one, those will wrap up kind of summer, early fall. And I mean, we know roughly what it's going to mean in terms of acreage and additions to those things. And we know that there's going to probably be up to 1,000 acres that are going to be available for that look when our board and council talk about what to do with Gateway. And I think being able to fit that into the work plan and starting it in the fall makes a lot of sense. And our board chair, Scott Andrews, has communicated with East Portland and talked to them about it and said that we are interested in doing it, and it's a good idea. And it's something you've suggested, the mayor suggested it, other people have talked about it, and it can easily be done.
Great, thank you.
We ultimately vote on the creation of an urban renewal area.
Yes, exactly.
And the debt and all the details and the mm-hmm. and the funding buckets
and our budget
and your budget. Sorry.
Can we leave out anything?
Otherwise known as funding buckets.
Keith's tie. No, looks good today, Keith. Anything else?
No, Mr. Chair.
All right, this moves to a second. Unless there's someone here to testify.
I did that.
Oh, you did that? It moves to a second reading. Can you please read the title for second reading item number 344?
Authorize a $3,000 grant agreement and memorandum of agreement with Portland Community Media as part of their Smart Access Partnership with Office of Neighborhood Involvement, Central Northeast Neighbors, and Southwest Neighborhoods, Inc. for the period January 1, 2010 through December 31, 2010.
Please call the vote.
Thank you to Portland Community Media for opening up this opportunity, and to all the Portland Community Media supporters out there. Yes, indeed, the Office of Cable Communication and Franchise Management is working with the Mount Hood Regulatory Commission to make sure that Portland's funding for Portland Community Media remains stable. And thanks to Brian Hoop in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and all of our Office of Neighborhood Involvement partners and contractors for participating in this program. It will be an invaluable tool in helping to conduct outreach and engagement with underserved populations and capture the stories of the wonderful things that people in Portland are doing. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 346?
Authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to acquire 6 properties as a component of the Gray to Green initiative.
Commissioner Saltzman?
I don't see anybody here.
Hold on a second here. Let's see if I have something to say about this.
One more. Why, yes, you do.
Oh, I do. Well, thank you, Mayor. The City Council, under the leadership of then Commissioner Adams, authorized the Greater Green Initiative in 2007 to accelerate the city investment in green stormwater management projects, fish and wildlife habitat protection, and natural area enhancement. The Bureau of Environmental Services, Portland Parks, and Metro are working together to identify and purchase land with high natural resource value in Portland. This ordinance authorizes the city to purchase 6 properties as part of the city's Greater Green Initiatives. The properties include a white oak woodland in the Baltimore Woods area near Cathedral Park. We will also be adding property in the East Buttes of the Johnson Creek watershed, and property at the Bridgetown Slough in the Columbia Slough watershed, and another property in the East Buttes area that contains more than 500 feet of the Johnson Creek main stem and buffers for the Brookside Natural Area. The total purchase price for these six properties on eight tax lots is $604,000. Of these totals, Portland Parks is contributing $207,000, Metro is contributing $151,000, and $112,000 is coming through BES. So I would urge approval of this great thing.
Does anyone have any very difficult technical questions for Commissioner Saltzman to answer?
Uh-oh.
He's stalling for
Fritz.
Time.
Anyone wish to testify on this matter?
Mary wants to find out what's going on outside. It's noisy out there.
It's Randy Leonard.
We do not know why we're being yelled at.
They want Randy to come out and talk to him, I think.
What is it?
They want you to come out.
It's a freedom of expression demonstration regarding the status for which we've taken no position on debate.
Oh, right.
All right. So anyone wish to testify on emergency ordinance 346? Carla, would you please call the vote on item 346?
Fritz. Well, one of the reasons I'm sitting here today is because in 1995, the Bureau of Environmental Services and Metro worked together to purchase a forest near my house. And I'm really happy to see this one, particularly the Baltimore Woods, which has been contentious at this council, and I'm very appreciative of Environmental Services for working on the purchase. I also note the purchase near Brookside. Ivy Francis was one of the city staff who first encouraged me to participate and helped me learn the ropes, and she was very instrumental in the Brookside development. So it's very satisfying to see, to be sitting here on the City Council and see other good projects, which I know other neighbors and other staff have worked on for many years, being purchased to preserve and protect Portland's natural areas, because once they're gone, they don't come back. Thank you very much, Commissioner Saltzman. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, good works to Parks, Metro, and Bureau of Environmental Services. Appreciate it. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Good job, Commissioner Saltzman. Commissioner Fish. Aye. Can you please read the title for resolution item number 347?
Authorize a temporary operating loan from the Bancroft Bond Interest and Sinking Fund to the Bureau of Development Services Operating Fund to provide interim funding.
Andrew, are you? In case there are any questions. Hi, welcome back. Thanks for waiting. Mr. Scarlett.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Paul Scarlett from the Bureau of Development Services Director. We're in front of you today to ask for a temporary operating loan. Essentially, our challenges continues in a form of financial and operational challenges at the Bureau of Development Services due to the economic crisis that we're experiencing. We are closely monitoring our finances on a daily basis. However, it's become pretty apparent some of the actions we took, which were very progressive in reducing costs, we're still at the point where operating on a monthly basis at cost recovery is very challenging. And we have some accounting obligations, as advised by Andrew and OMF, where we can't dip below zero in our cash flow or below zero on our in our reserve fund. And additionally, we are maintaining and trying to provide the best level of service as we possibly can. We are at the point where our reserve fund is almost at zero, and we are asking for this loan to be a security to meet those financial or accounting obligations. And we do have projections that show, and historically, construction activities do pick up in the spring and summer. We are hopeful that that will materialize, and we would be in a position to start build up our reserve and be able to operate at least 100% cost recovery. The loan is temporary in that we have to pay it back by the end of next fiscal year, June of 2011. Workload continues to come in at a pace where it's difficult to keep up because we took the action of reducing our Bureau by nearly half its staff about approximately 150 staff were laid off. The workload is still at about 22% compared to the same period of time last year. This is measured from June to February of 2009 and 10 compared to 2008 and 9. So that's one piece of it. However, the valuation is what's really hurting us. It's down to about 50%. And so smaller projects, less expensive, less revenues. That's the situation we find ourselves in. We are, I continue, and I know my very dedicated and committed coworker, Denise Klein, our resolve remains strong. We do, based on our operation and hopefully the economy, this will turn around. We have to ride it out. We're doing all the things we feel we need to do, and we've gotten great support from our Commissioner Rand Leonard and great assistance from OMF and others who are involved. It is a difficult time, but some of these financial actions that were taken have helped us. Certainly asking for a loan is something we've been in discussions for almost a year. We depleted our reserve, utilize all other means before we got to this point. Same with laying off our staff. We utilized our reserve. We were able to put in place a number of good cost-saving measures. We've introduced some efficiencies. And so many of these actions, they're very humbling and such a big change. I can share with you when I first started a job, when Commissioner Randy appointed me 5 years ago, we couldn't hire people fast enough. There was so much work coming in, as you all may recall. And so to be in a 180 situation, it's such a strange dynamic. But we're not special. It's not isolated to BDS. It's happening in the country, in the world. And so we feel, for in terms of our projections, that we will be in a position to repay. We're comfortable that we can repay this loan based on increased projections and activities and associated revenues over the next year. I can go on a little bit. Denise, I'd like to turn to Denise to add a little context as to even some more why we find ourselves in the dwindling situation financially.
Thank you, Paul. Denise Klein, Administrative Services Manager with the Bureau of Development Services. So Paul talked about the reductions that we had in our staffing, and I think I know you've heard some of this before, but it's pretty dramatic in terms of the reductions that we took. Our payroll a year ago, July 2009, over a year ago, was about $2.4 million, and now our payroll is about $1.4 million. That's a month. So we've cut our payroll costs by $1 million per month. That's pretty extraordinary. Part of what we see happening is that part of the issue we're facing is a cash flow issue, where we're monitoring our cash flow. Our finance manager, Elshad Hajiev, is actually using SAP, thankfully. We have it online, and is able to monitor our cash flow. He checks in about 3 times a day to check in and see what our cash flow is. And it's has hovered very close to zero a couple of times, which is, if it goes below that is not good financial policy. So that's part of the reason for the loan, is really a cash flow issue. When, especially when payroll hits our accounts, then it really makes a huge difference. By the next day, then our cash fund balance is up a little bit. So we're monitoring that very carefully, and I can say good things about SAP, that it's allowing us to do that. The other issue is that our fund balance should not fall below zero, and that's an issue that isn't more of an end-of-the-month issue, that we look at that very carefully at the end of each accounting period. It does take a while for everything to get posted, but we watch on a daily basis as those postings come in, and have worked with OMF on some of that, and they've been very, very helpful. We also are monitoring our accounts receivable, where we send out billings, And we've done a tremendous job in terms of our staff being able to talk to vendors or talk to our customers that have maybe been a little bit slow in paying in the past. And those accounts are pretty well up to date, much better than they were a few years ago. So that's working really well. The other part of the issue that we're seeing is that there are a couple of programs that have negative balances in their reserve. We have a reserve for the whole bureau, the whole fund that we monitor, but then each and every program has its own reserve. And the reserve for the housing nuisance program is in itself below zero, and also land use services. So those two that are supported in part by the general fund, there's major issues there, which is partly why we came to talk to you on February 9th and talked about the need for additional funding. And also in our budget request, there's requests for additional funding for those two programs. The work that we're doing right now is working on, in addition to doing all this monitoring, we're working on our fee increases for July 1. And we've been working with our Development Review Advisory Committee, our first proposal to them they had concerns about. So we went back to the drawing board and have are now working on a revision to that. So we'll be working on proposals and then also going out and meeting with the industry. But our fee increases are very, very important to our revenues for next fiscal year. Without the fee increases, we would have to make changes to our service levels. So just wanted to let you know that in addition to the loan helping us through, the fee increases are going to be very pivotal, just as they always are to our budget, but this year especially pivotal in terms of our revenues. I think that's really all I have.
Great. Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz.
You just gave us a lot of numbers, so I want to see if I grasped some of them. Paul, you said that the level of work is 22% of this time last year or 22% down from this time last year?
Down from this time last year.
So it's 22% less.
Lower now than last year.
That's helpful. Yes. And that, but then,
I'm sorry. That's I should clarify. That's in one area of work, issued permits. Building permits, site development permits, not all functions. Land use activities are down even more, for example. I can give you a little bit more context.
And maybe if you could get back to me after this. Yeah, obviously, I'm going to support this resolution because you need to have the fiscal soundness, but I would like to get those numbers. Denise, you mentioned the Land Use Service Division in particular, and I'm wondering if the $500,000 that we reallocated in the winter budget monitoring process, does that resolve that problem, or is it still a problem?
No, it does not resolve the problem. The fund as of the 31st of January was negative $2.3 million.
Wow. And there's no reserve in that sub-reserve fund either?
Right.
Okay. And then we discussed at the work session having an independent look at your projections. Mm-hmm. Is that process happening?
Denise has been in contact with LMF.
Yeah, I can address that. Maybe Andrew can also. We did talk with the city economist and also our budget analyst. They asked for some data and information, kind of a test run to do a check of our revenue projections, and we did do that, submitted that information. The test verified the revenue projections for the current fiscal year, which they asked to do. But I believe that the budget office may still be interested in an outside consultant taking a look at our work.
I think that would be helpful because I want to be sure that our projections for when you're going to recover, I don't want you to be, again, I'm going to support this loan, but the payback schedule and whether getting some outside expert advice on when construction might be rebounding would be helpful to figure out if this if we do, you might need more help in the future, and if so, how much more?
So I want to react to that. I'm happy to agree to that as long as they don't pay for it. Because in the final analysis, what the forecasts are that we use currently are based on state numbers that the entire state bases its projections on. And the numbers end up being what the numbers are. I mean, what we're actually talking about here is trying to figure out, can we speculate what the revenue is going to be? And that's good to know, but in the final analysis, it doesn't determine what we actually take in. So for me, this is not an important exercise enough to pay the money. If OMF wants to pay the money or some other bureau wants to pay the money, I'm happy to have that done, but we cannot afford to pay for a consultant to do something that really doesn't get us any closer to generating more revenue.
And my recommendation was going to be that we take it out of general fund contingency in the spring bump.
Right.
And we're talking how much money?
It's about $10,000 to $20,000.
Yeah. And that was my understanding, too. Thank you for clarifying.
I have a couple questions, Mayor. First to Andrew. The notion of borrowing to cover operating costs, I mean, understand the sort of general rule on that. Why does this particular transaction not give you heartburn?
Well, I wouldn't actually say it doesn't give us heartburn. I think it is something we've been in discussion for months with BDS about this and the possibility we may need to do this fiscal year. And it was finally this month that they decided it was time to sort of pull the trigger. You know, there are a couple different competing principles here. You know, one, from an accounting perspective, you don't want your fund to be negative. It's a bad financial practice. And if their fund did go negative on either a cash basis or at the end of the month, it might trigger an audit finding. When we audit the books at the end of the year. And so just as a general financial practice, we want to avoid that. You're right that in general, borrowing for operating costs is something that needs to be scrutinized very carefully. I think the most important thing is to make sure that if you're running a chronic deficit, we need to make sure that the organization's right-sized. I think from BDS's perspective, they've done a lot of right-sizing to reduce costs, and the projections that we currently have are showing that they would be able to pay this loan back by the end of next fiscal year. And I want to stress that we have an internal city, policy that sort of, again, talks about borrowing for operating costs. The state budget law does allow for borrowing for operating costs, and there's a specific state statute, and that's what we're using here, and it requires payment to be made by the end of the following fiscal year, which, again, is why the repayment terms here are at the end of fiscal year 10-11.
And my follow-up question on that piece is, if through no fault of BDS, they're not in a better position a year from now to repay the loan. What are the series of options?
And I think the ordinance addresses that, although not in specifics. It notes that if BDS were unable to repay it, then OMF would be looking at other interim financing mechanisms. I think one of the places we would go would be the general fund, either for an extended borrowing or to make up the difference. So, so I want to be clear that this loan does have a potential general fund risk to it. But again, at least in terms of the numbers we've seen at this point, we think BDS will be able to pay it back. And the other thing from BDS's perspective we've talked to them a lot about is it does, and I know they were reluctant to go down this road, because it means that if revenues do pick up, the first obligation they have is to repay their loan, which they have a lot of other needs that I know they also need to be putting money towards.
I might add that it's more of a secure amount. We're not hoping to use all of it based on projections.
Yeah. Well, on the question of fees, I want to just express solidarity with you, because you're looking at raising fees during a recession. Right. Last year, Parks raised some fees. Mm-hmm. We did so partly because our fees are below the cost recovery model, a goal set by the council, and also because we thought it would not negatively impact on people. Okay. But and we were actually reasonably successful in recovering the additional monies we needed to mitigate some of the budget cuts. But we also have an ongoing challenge of people asking us to waive their fees. And for those of us who rely in part in our budget to get our budget to balance by using fees, that's very challenging. And it's tempting, but I'll just acknowledge it's very challenging to do that. The final question I want to ask is to Paul, and that is, I appreciate the exchanges we've had and the collegial relations over the neighborhood inspection team.
Right.
But I will still confess that I don't know enough
to either be comfortable or not about where we're going. And since we're about to go into a budget presentations where this could be an issue, are we still planning to pull together a meeting that we talked about at the last work session of the various stakeholders to talk about that issue in particular?
Yes, the Office of Management and Finance, Financial Planning Division has recommended that a task force be formed between BDS, Housing Bureau, and ONI. And so there is plans to organize a meeting and discuss some of the enforcement and processes that exist amongst the three groups relative to property maintenance and neighborhood livability.
Thank you. There are some. There were some external stakeholders who came last time, Metro Multifamily, Community Alliance of Tenants, and others, which I'd like to involve in that because they've made some constructive suggestions and they were involved in the Quality Rental Housing Workgroup work. What I would urge, though, is that I know you have a lot on your plate, but I would urge that we have an initial meeting before your budget submission so that we can use that process to better educate us about what your numbers are and your needs are going forward.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, that's March 31st. We come back. I'm gone in a week, so we got to schedule something pretty quick.
Or with your designee.
Okay, correct.
So I want to point out a dynamic that might not be clear to everybody here. The same set of circumstances, and which is the complete collapse, the near collapse of the commercial construction industry. That has brought the Bureau of Development Services literally to its knees, has benefited the city in other areas to the tune of tens of millions, if not more, dollars. Just today, we saved over $2 million on a capital construction project due to the lack of work in the construction industry and the need by that industry to get any contract they can. We have benefited in untold millions of dollars. That benefit has been the exact reason that BDS has lost all of the revenue that it normally gets. The valuation is down, which is how we benefit in one respect. And then some people just aren't doing the work, so they're not getting permits at all. So in some ways, I would actually like to figure out how this could have been a grant by the city and not a loan, because I think we've benefited in many ways. But I think finding the middle ground and have it be a loan and have it be the payback fee and the out year that we've identified is reasonable, but I do think it's important for the council to realize that from a 30,000 foot level overall, we have, I think, because of the economic conditions, seen a lot of monetary relief as a city due to the competitiveness of the construction industry right now, but it has been to BDS's detriment.
I would concur.
And I would just add again for those listening, this is not unique to Portland.
Right.
Development Services permitting departments across the United States are having to endure this. So it doesn't make it any easier, but it's nothing unique about our management or our city. Everybody is having to face this. All right. Is there anyone that wishes to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
All right. Please call the vote on the resolution.
Fritz?
Well, indeed, there are a lot of outside economic factors that have helped or not helped to put us in this situation. And I appreciate the Financial Planning Department and the Office of Management and Finance working with BDS to find a solution to this, which we hope is a temporary problem. I also appreciate Commissioner Leonard working with financial planning to do that audit, the independent study to look at the projections to figure out, as Mayor Adams noted, what are other jurisdictions doing? What are they looking at? What are we looking at here in the local area in terms of the likely recovery? Thank you for your work. Aye.
Fish.
I want to echo that and appreciate, Paul, the challenging position that you and your leadership team and the employees of the Bureau have been placed in. And we can't allow moments like this to, in moments like this, we need to acknowledge that there's a lot of people who have been hurt as a result of this downturn that work for the city. and this, your bureau, because of the way it's funded, is a your way of bureau. Because of the way it's funded, is particularly sensitive to that. We can have our disagreements about specific policy matters, and we can express our concerns about how things are funded and how transparent the budget is, but we can that does not in any way change the fact that we all share tremendous concern for the human toll that this recession has taken on your bureau and the very difficult position it's placed.